Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end.
Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Transform your home in one weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big.
Hello, and welcome to this bonus episode of Lunchbox Envy. Wimbledon is upon us, so it is the season for Pimm's and champagne and strawberries and cream, and I guess a bit of tennis, if you can fit that in. So we have a whole episode coming out on strawberries, but we thought we'd do a special one just on the food and drink at Wimbledon. So Wimbledon is potentially the most famous tennis tournament in the world, and it is actually the largest single annual catering event in Europe.
No way.
Yeah, it's mad. So it takes a team of over 3,000 people working 24/7 to keep the whole operation running.
Wow.
In 2023, 300 chefs operating in 55 kitchens cooked over 281,000 hot meals. So that averages about one every 3.6 seconds.
And those were just for Roger Federer.
Famously big appetite. Yeah,
very active dude. So, Rosie, have you got something for us?
Oh. Yes, I do. Probably the easiest lunchbox I've ever had to bring in, actually. I've brought strawberries and cream.
Oh, hey.
The Wimbledon classic. I brought strawberries and cream plain, but then I've also bought strawberries with a couple of different twists. And you've probably heard of them, but I wanted to explain why they're so good. So we've got strawberries with a bit of balsamic vinegar on.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And strawberries with some black pepper on. So we know that strawberries are sweet and acidic, right? We know that. Balsamic vinegar, which is very sweet but also tart, adds kind of like a really nice depth to the strawberry, and it's a little bit savory as well. It makes the fruit taste even more intensely strawberry-like, basically. Yeah. Should we try?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it.
Mm. Ooh, all right.
Well, I know what you mean. It's somehow more fragrant.
I think the cleverest thing is because the balsamic vinegar is so tart, it makes the strawberry taste sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even though it might not actually be, because it's got that really bold vinegar on top of it. It's really delicious.
That's fantastic. Really good.
It's a great combination. Let's try black pepper. See what we think of that.
Okay.
That goes up the nose a lot more, doesn't it?
Mm. Oh, I prefer that to the vinegar. That's really nice.
Interesting. I think it makes it taste quite floral. Strawberries are a great vehicle for spice, actually. Because they are sweet, but they've got lots and lots of different caramelly undertones, which work really well with spices. And fennel is a really good one with strawberries as well. If you've ever had strawberries with a bit of powdered fennel sugar, delicious. And of course, the classic vanilla. We all know that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really need to be tasted because we've all had it a million times before. This was probably like my favorite pudding when I was a
kid.
Bit of strawberries, just simply covered in some rich double cream.
Oh, lovely.
And we had a bit of debate about this in the studio. Is it whipped cream or not? In my opinion, and from what I can tell from people's pictures of Wimbledon.
Yeah, there's no whipped cream.
There's no whipped cream. It's a straight pouring cream.
I feel like
that
would be sacrilege.
I think it's British laziness more than anything.
Yeah,
like,
an
we can't
step.
Be asked to whip it. Okay, so let's have some of that.
So just as we're eating this, I discovered that the first known recipe for strawberries and cream dates back from Henry VIII and his cookbook.
His cookbook.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Everyone their nan's written a cookbook.
Available in all good bookstores. No, it was his chefs who wrote down some of the recipes they used. But he was a huge purveyor of real tennis. So there's a link going back all the way to the 1500s.
As opposed to pretend tennis.
No, that's a false friend. The word comes from royal. It was royal tennis.
I see.
So I thought, how can you make a savory version?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up savory strawberry dishes and I found a good ketchup recipe. More on that in the strawberries episode. And then I thought, what's the sort of savory version of cream? Obviously cheese.
Mm.
So then... So I thought mozzarella sticks, deep fried in batter and then dipped in strawberry ketchup would be delicious.
That would be really good.
And you could serve them at Wimbledon. I'm sure they'd go down and treat.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, strawberries and goat's cheese are a really good combo.
Oh, there you go.
A little goat's cheese.
Well, you've just improved my recipe already. There's no wonder you've written more cookbooks than me.
Yeah, with feta as well. So many options.
Oh, yeah. And then I thought about a piña colada version. Because I'd heard about the pine berries, which taste of pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get coconut cream everywhere these days because it's appealing to those who don't want dairy. And then I thought you could make like a rum caramel as well if you wanted.
Wow. That's really good.
So the piña colada version, the tropical version.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just thinking, what other versions could you do? I thought about a spoonerism version.
What spoonerism?
You're about to find out.
It's where you swap the first sounds or the first letters of two words. So... you're Rosie McKean, you'd be Mosey Rakeen.
Mm, I do that by accident sometimes.
Yeah, people do.
Like Beg and Aiken.
Yeah, Beg and Aiken. Anyway, I found there are such things called crowberries.
Really?
So crowberries and steam, which are just crowberries served with dry ice. I don't think it's very nice.
What is a crowberry?
It's a Scandinavian blackcurrant cousin.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Worth a go. So these strawberries are, much like the tennis players, the best of the best. They're 50 tons of strawberries consumed each tournament. Every single one is graded by hand. So someone individually looks at every single strawberry and says yes or no.
Wow. So it's definitely not a pick your own situation.
Well, it kind of is, but pick your own underneath the eyes of an expert judge. But only they're perfect. They're called El Santa. The variety.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from Kent, so they're not from far away. They're picked at dawn and delivered by 11 a.m. every morning.
Wow.
It's quite mystical and fable-y.
Oh, not for the guy that's looking at each one,
True.
You go
that's
mad.
Over the course of the tournament, they will be topped up with 7,000 litres of cream, which is enough to fill 88 bathtubs.
Damn.
Which I actually don't think is that impressive, but then I think people underestimate. No, that's not a word. People underestimate the volume of a bathtub.
Yeah,
it's about 100 liters, which is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Also, that's like 88 days of baths of cream.
Yeah,
like
true.
Think about it like that. Like that's crazy. I can't believe they're shipped in every day at 11 a.m. Yeah, that is mad.
Has anyone been to the tournament?
Yes, I have.
Ooh.
Did you have strawberries and cream?
I probably did, yes.
No.
I don't remember. I was only about 17 and it rained all day.
Oh.
I remember working there in 2013, actually. I was behind the scenes.
Whoa. Were you a ball boy?
No. I was shadowing a guy who did all the air conditioning.
They're classic.
But he'd been working there for years and he had access to all the areas and he would like kind of liaise with the engineers and the bigwigs who was sort of sitting around the chairman's boardroom and stuff. And so he knew his stuff and he had access to it everywhere. I remember going like underneath center court and out to the top of court number one. I found one of the balls they play with, which I took home and it says 2013 on it, which is the first year Andy Murray won. So
wow. You stole from Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Also, somebody call the Met.
But in my head, you were going through all of the air vents like Mission Impossible style.
Well, if I really wanted a ball, I should have gone to the fridge because did you know the balls are all refrigerated?
What?
Yeah.
Why?
In addition to all the chilled cream and champagne that they keep on ice, the AELTC, the All England Lawn Tennis Club, which also is the, just an aside here, is the body that runs all croquet in England. So the full name is the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club. Anyway, so they have to refrigerate the tennis balls. And there's 57,000 balls used every tournament, which is two lorry loads worth, if you want to picture it. Enough for like three sizable ball pits. I'd love to jump into those.
You know, I think it'd be quite painful.
Maybe you're right. They're quite heavy as well. They probably wouldn't move out of the way when you landed. But they're delivered to special chilled rooms under centre court at a temperature of exactly 20 degrees. Mm. So not as cold as a fridge, but very specifically temperature controlled.
That is so interesting. I never knew that. And also because I was thinking, like, well, if they're really cold, they must be a bit heavier, no? Like, or like be a bit harder. But 20 degrees is a nice room temp. Mm. That's what's the temperature I like my butter when I'm making a cake.
Often warmer than the British weather as well.
Mm. Is that just so that the air is like a specific expansion inside the ball?
Yeah, I think so. And just marginal gains, like they have to make sure consistency, every single ball has to be, because there's thermal expansion. If they're too hot, they'll be bigger. And like you say, the air expands. Correct. So they need to be the perfect sort of consistency.
And then some absolute Jobsworth who's lost their game will be like, the balls were too big.
So I was looking at what else is on offer at Wimbledon food-wise. And of course, bananas. Very famous food item the tennis court.
So the players that eat the bananas. I have watched it, but like I don't watch it religiously.
Yeah, no, they love a banana.
Do they?
Yeah, no, I mean, to be fair, it's a great energy food. Slow release, lots of good stuff in a banana.
Yeah.
They eat around 3.3 tons a fortnight.
Each?
Yeah, they're massive. So that's about 30,000 bananas between all of them. Uh-huh. And that generates a lot of banana peel, as you can imagine. Yeah. So what they've realised is that, wait, hold on, we've done this.
Banana peel.
Mm. So they're taking a leaf out of Rosie's book.
That's right.
And they're making banana peel muffins, which they serve back to the players in the restaurant. So it's like a zero waste food initiative, and it does really well.
Wow,
that's so clever. I'd like to try that. I like banana muffin.
Oh, yeah, so do I.
Hmm.
But, I mean, you wouldn't taste the peel. I'm imagining if it's anything like the banana curry you made, it's more like a textural juiciness.
I can imagine it working a bit more like carrot or a courgette. Ooh. Almost, like moist muffin with a moist center.
Oh, does sound good.
I have to wonder, how far in advance do they get those bananas to nice ripeness? Because if I was on centre court and I was given a green banana, I'd fucking kick off.
Throw it at the umpire.
I want a nice ripe banana, please. Not too dark, not too green, like the perfect ripeness. Mm-hmm. So I heard a rumour that in Wimbledon, the best food is in the press room.
Oh.
Basically. Apparently there's a smashing Victoria sponge.
Really? Oh, I'd love to go in.
And curries for lunch.
I vaguely remember the press room again when I was working there. Oh, but damn. It was, I mean, out of
As
season.
As you watched from above in an airbed.
Just lowering myself down when everyone's back was turned and grabbing a piece of Victoria's sponge. Back up.
Do we have any final facts to wrap up with?
Well, yeah, I suppose I quite like this one, which is that over the course of the tournament, spectators, this is so fucking British. The spectators at Wimbledon drink about 3 tanker trucks worth of tea.
Oh, God.
Although, to be fair, I dread to think how much Pimm's they also drink.
Oh, yeah, and champagne.
And the champagne, yeah. But tea.
Apparently, people pop champagne corks so often during the game that there have to be warnings issued because it's so loud. And obviously, you need total silence. Yes.
Quiet, please. Uh-huh.
they're flying around. You may want to get one of those in the eye.
Oh, God. Yeah, dangerous. No.
Definitely not.
I really like this. In 1998, there was a Czech tennis player called Petr Korda, and he tested positive for a performance-enhancing steroid, which is called nandrolone, whilst competing at Wimbledon. And he tried to blame it on steroid-fed veal that was part of his diet. But authorities worked out that to ingest the level that they found in his system of nandrolone, he would have had to eat 40 calves a day for 20 years.
That's so silly.
So his excuse didn't wash.
So that's it from us on Wimbledon. You can listen to our strawberries episode on Monday. But yeah, until then, have a beautiful, sweet, strawberry, creamy time.
Yes, I hope it doesn't rain.
Bye.
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 Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.